Title: Mapping Base Macros for Live Jam Writing Beginner. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing a super practical drum and bass Ableton Live skill, Mapping Base Macros for Live Jam Writing. And I want you to think about this the right way from the start. Indeed, NB, bass lines aren't just notes. The notes are the skeleton. The actual vibe comes from movement, filter sweeps, distortion, FM bite, wobble rhythm, and how wide the mids feel while the subs stay solid. So the goal today is to build a bass instrument rack that feels like an instrument you can play live. By the end, you'll have one rack with 8 macros that cover basically everything you need for rolling DNB bass writing in session view. Then you'll record yourself jamming those macros and turn that performance into an arrangement. Let's go! First, quick project setup so the macros make sense in context. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. That's classic drum and bass territory. Then make 3 tracks, a drums track, a bass instrument track, and optionally a separate sub track. But for this lesson, we're going to keep sub inside the rack, because that's going to teach you a really important workflow, separating sub and mid so you can go hard on sound design without destroying your low end. Drop in a basic drum loop or make a quick pattern. Keep it simple. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, and some hats or shuffles so you feel the roll. This part matters. Macros feel different when you're jamming against an actual groove. If you map macros in silence, you'll make choices that don't translate. Now, on the bass track, load Waveatable. If you only have operator, you can still follow the concept, but I'll speak as if we're using Waveatable. Start simple. On oscillator 1, choose basic shapes and go to a sine or a very smooth wave. On oscillator 2, choose basic shapes and go to a saw, but keep its level low for now. That saw is basically your harmonic helper. Set the synth to mono, one voice. Then turn on glide or portamento. Try a glide time around 60 to 120 milliseconds. This is one of those details that instantly makes bass lines feel more alive because notes connect instead of feeling like separate key presses. If there's a legato option, turn it on so glide only happens when notes overlap. For the filter, pick a low-pass 24 dB style filter. Set the cutoff somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz to start, and keep resonance pretty low, like 5 to 15%. Also, tiny writing tip, DNB often feels great around F, F sharp, or G for heavy bass weight, but don't overthink it. Pick a key that fits your tune. Now we're going to group this into an instrument rack, because racks give us macros. Click the Waveatable device, press Command G on Mac or Control G on Windows. That groups it into an instrument rack. Show the macros and rename the rack something like DNB Jam Bass Rack. Before we map anything, name the 8 macros. This sounds boring, but it keeps you focused and keeps your rack playable. Macro 1, Cutoff. Macro 2, Rezo. Macro 3, Drive. Macro 4, Sub. Macro 5, Bite. Macro 6, Wob Rate. Macro 7, Wob Depth. Macro 8, Width. Now we're going to build a simple, stock processing chain. And then we'll do the key DNB trick, splitting the rack into sub and mid chains. Here's the big idea. You want the sub to stay clean, mono, and stable. And you want the mids to be the playground where all the movement happens. If you modulate the sub with filters and stereo and distortion, the whole track starts to wobble in a bad way. It feels weak, so we separate it. Inside the rack, open the chain list. Create 2 chains. Name one SUB and the other MID. On the SUB chain, keep things minimal. Ideally, the Waveatable settings on the SUB chain are mostly sine, not a bunch of harmonics. Add in a Q8 on that SUB chain and low pass it around 80 to 120 Hz. You're basically saying, this chain is only allowed to be sub and low bass. Then add a utility on the SUB chain and set width to 0%. That is non-negotiable for most DNB. Mono sub, every time. Optional extra, if your sub feels too quiet on small speakers, you can add a very gentle saturator just on the SUB chain, like 1 to 3 dB of drive with soft clip on. That adds a little harmonic information without turning it into fuzz. Now on the MID chain, this is where the fun happens. Put in a Q8 and high pass it around 80 to 120 Hz. The goal is that the MID chain doesn't fight the SUB chain in that low region. After that, add a saturator on the MID chain. Put it in analog clip mode. Turn on soft clip and set drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB to start. Then add an auto filter on the MID chain. Set it to LP24. Even though Wavedable has a filter, auto filter is great as a performance filter because it's easy to map and consistent. After that, you can add a compressor if you want a touch of control. Keep it gentle, ratio around 2 to 1, attack 10 to 30 milliseconds, release on auto. This is not about smashing, it's about smoothing. Then, on the MID chain, add a utility at the end. That's where wheel control width. Cool. Now we map. Click map mode on the rack. Macro 1, cutoff. Map it to the auto filter cutoff on the MID chain. Set the mapping range so the minimum isn't totally dead. A good beginner range is about 150 Hz up to 6 kHz. That way, at 0%, you still hear the bass. Remember, we're designing this for safe jamming. You don't want to panic because your macro at 0 makes your bass vanish. Macro 2, Rezo. Map it to auto filter resonance on the MID chain. Set a range like 5% up to 45%. More than that can whistle and get annoying fast, especially on a 24 dB low pass. Macro 3, Drive. Map it to saturator drive on the MID chain. Set it from about 2 dB up to 12 dB. Now, teacher tip. Anything that adds harmonics also adds perceived loudness. So if you only map drive, your bass will jump in volume and you'll think you made it better, but you actually just made it louder. So do the classic fix. Map the saturator output to the same macro and make it go down as drive goes up. For example, output from 0 dB down to minus 6 dB. You're building guardrails. Macro 4, sub. Map it to the utility gain on the sub chain. Set a practical range, like minus 18 dB up to 0 dB. That way you can tuck the sub in without accidentally muting it completely. Macro 5, bite. Keep this simple. The beginner-friendly option is to map Wavedable oscillator to level. That's a clean way to add harmonics without going into complex modulation. Set it from 0 up to about 35%. If you want a more aggressive option later, you can swap this macro to FM amount instead, but keep it subtle at first, like 0 to 25%. FM gets intense quickly. Now we create wobble. On the MID chain, add Ableton's LFO device. In the LFO, click map, and assign it to auto filter or cutoff on the MID chain. Set the LFO shape to sine or triangle for a smooth wobble. Turn sync on, and start at 1/8 rate. Now map macro 6, wob rate. Map it to the LFO rate. Set the range from 1/16 to 1/4. You'll live around 1/8 and 1/16 a lot for rolling patterns, and 1/4 can be cool for halftime feel or a big, obvious switch. Macro 7, wob depth. Map it to the LFO amount. Set it from 0 up to around 60%. Staying under 70 is a good beginner rule because once the modulation is too deep, your bass can start feeling like it's disappearing and reappearing instead of moving. Macro 8, width. Map it to utility width on the MID chain. Set it from 0% to about 140%. And remember, sub width stays at 0. Always. Exit map mode. At this point, save the rack. Seriously. Right-click the rack title and save it as DNB Jam Bass Rack. Future you will thank you. Now let's turn it into music. Go to session view. Create 3 to 6 MIDI clips on the bass track, each one or two bars long. Keep the MIDI simple and leave space. Bass is not emptiness in DNB. Bass is impact. A good rule. Don't let the bass stomp directly on your snare unless you really mean it. Let the snare hit breathe. Here's a quick one bar idea on a 16th grid. Put notes on 1.1, then 1.2.3, then 1.3, then 1.4.2, and leave gaps between them. The macros will create the movement and the phrasing. Now, arm recording. And here's the workflow. You're going to launch clips while recording into arrangement view, and you're going to perform the macros like you're playing an instrument. To keep it intentional, pick just 2 hero controls per section. For an intro or verse vibe, use cutoff and wob depth. Keep it darker. Keep wobble shallow. For a build, use rezo and wob rate. Beating up the wobble or adding a bit of resonance screams energy rising. For the drop, drive and bite. That's where the aggression comes from. Do a take where you keep it simple. Then do a second take where you push it harder. Then do a third take where you bring width in on the mids for a bigger moment, but don't live at maximum width all the time. Width is most powerful as contrast. If your automation ends up looking really spiky and messy, you can right-click an automation lane and choose Simplify Envelope. That can turn jittery movements into something smoother and more musical. If you have Live 11 Suite, there's an extra powerful trick, Macro Variations. When you find a good macro state, save it as a variation and name it intro, build, drop A, drop B. Then during recording, you can click those variations like scene changes. It's an instant arrangement tool. Now, once you've recorded, jump into arrangement view. Listen back and find the best moments. Highlight a good section and consolidate with Command J or Control J. Add some basic markers, intro, drop, break, second drop. A simple DNB structure that works a lot is 16 bars intro, 32 bars drop, 16 bars break, 32 bars second drop. And here's a super important arranging idea. For drop B, change one fundamental thing, not everything. For example, change wob rate from 1/8 to 1/16, or keep the same rhythm and just push bite and pull width tighter. Focused contrast reads as a new section way more clearly than changing 5 knobs at once. One more pro workflow tip: print your bass to audio sooner than you think. Freeze and flatten or resample it. Audio editing is fast. You can cut little gaps for drum hits, reverse tiny bits for ear candy, and add fades to tighten the groove without endlessly tweaking synth settings. Before we wrap, let's cover the most common beginner mistakes so you can avoid them immediately. If the sub gets wide or distorted, you went too far on the wrong chain. Fix it by keeping sub mono with utility at 0% width and low pass at around 100 Hz. If the macros cause huge volume jumps, that's usually drive or bite. Fix it by mapping output down as drive goes up, or using a tiny utility gain reduction on the MID chain as part of the same macro. If wobble feels off-grid, make sure LFO sync is on and you're using musical divisions like 1/16, 1/8, or 1/4. If the bass fights the kick, add sidechain compression on the bass, triggered by the kick. Keep it gentle, like 2-4 dB of gain reduction. You're making space, not pumping for the sake of it. Now a quick 15-minute practice so you actually lock this in. Load your rack, write 1-2 bar MIDI clip with gaps. Record 3 30-second macro performance takes. Take A, only cutoff and wob depth. Take B, add drive and bite. Take C, add width and rezo. Then an arrangement. Pick the best 8 bars and label it drop bass V1. Duplicate it to make drop bass V2 and change only wob rate, like 1/8 to 1/16, and adjust bite a bit. The goal is to drop flavors without rewriting the MIDI. Let's recap what you just built. You created a DNB-focused bass rack with a sub and mid split, so the low end stays clean while you perform movement on the mids. This audio version is shortened for playback.